I want to greet you all this morning in the precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's a blessing to be here with you all and blessing to be here on this day that we've come to celebrate the uniting in marriage, Hans and Heidi. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we come before you this morning and we thank you, Lord, for your goodness and for your mercy. We thank you for your grace, Lord, and the blessings that you've given us along this way, Lord. We thank you for each one here and we just ask your blessing upon them. Lord, we thank you for Hans and Heidi, their families. Lord, we thank you for the church, Father, that gives us the brotherhood and the blessings, Father, that come with that. Lord, we just ask that you'd help us, Father, to be faithful to you. Fill us with your Spirit, God, and give us wisdom as we open your word, look to you for guidance. Lord, we just ask your blessing upon this time together. Again, thank you. We ask all this in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. All right. Again, it's a blessing to be here with you all this morning. I'm going to take some verses from Ephesians chapter 5, but I want to kind of set up a little background here. You know, there's a lot of people in the world that question God and his existence, the question the miracles that Jesus performed. They question they have a hard time believing because it doesn't really fit their physics or whatever they believe, you know, that some of the miracles that Jesus performed. And so people question that. Jesus, whenever he was dealing with people, there's one place that he said, "Blessed are you that haven't seen these things that I've done and still believe." And I think one of the things that has convinced me the most about God is not necessarily the miracles. I don't think we just have to really understand or believe that for the miracles, but the fruit of what Jesus teaches and what is in the Bible, I think that's a bigger testimony and a bigger explanation to the world than there is. The very teachings of Jesus and the things that he taught. He said, "Blessed are you, you know, if it's not he that heareth these words of mine, but he that does them." And that's the key. A lot of times whenever we talk of faith, we talk of faith in something God has done. Or, "I believe in these miracles," or "I believe all of these different things." The true faith is actually taking someone at their word and believing it. You know, you might even question some of those things that happened, but yet you believe what is being said. There's more faith for someone who just takes someone and believes them. They might not understand all the things about it. They may question some of the things of how it happened, but just to take someone and trust them at their word. And that's where faith comes. And that's what Jesus came to do. When he came into this world, he overcame Satan to set us free from his bonds and his power so that we could be free. And that's what God made us to be. That's what he intended for each of us to be, is to be free. Not just to do whatever you wanted to do, but to have your spirit and your soul freed from Satan's bondage, the bondage of sin, the bondage of whatever, religion in some cases, the bondage of anything that would bind us and keep us from actually having a relationship with God and walking and believing and having faith in Him. And I've said before, you know, people say, well, I believe because the Bible says it. And that's not what I believe. Why I believe. I believe what the Bible says because it's right and it's true. It lifts us up above this world. When Jesus said to turn the other cheek, instead of being caught in the battle of a war with someone or being angry, when we turn the other cheek, that lifts us above the fray. You know, we talk about being a winner, and the winner, you know, like in a fight or something, the winner is not always the winner. He's got guilt to live with. It doesn't prove anything. But for someone to be lifted above that, like Jesus taught, forgiveness, whenever we forgive one another. You know, I've known people that have held grudges and haven't spoken for 30 or 40 years to a family member because they're holding a grudge and they just won't forgive that person. But Jesus says to forgive. And that lifts us above those things. That sets us free. And so whenever we look at these things, just the teachings of Jesus and how liberating and how powerful they are, they work. That's why we can believe them. We come together this morning to celebrate this union of Brother Hans and Sister Heidi. And, you know, we look at the world today and they're all confused. They don't know whether they're boys or girls in the world, the children sometimes. There's confusion. Nothing to trust, nothing sure. There's a lot of problems in the world, and we see them all over. People that think they've got everything under control, but you see the chaos. You know, the psychiatrist, a lot of times they get paid to solve everybody else's problems, then go home and take a whole handful of pills because they can't deal with their own problems. It looks fine from the outside, and that's the way the world works. This marriage, this thing that God has ordained, He set it up. And He has a way that it will work. And it's a blessing. And the world doesn't know. The world don't know, does not know how things can be. That you can have a couple that's united in marriage, pure and holy, and they can come together and raise a family and protect them from what the world has to offer. That they don't even want it, what the world has to offer. They can live right in the middle of it, work with them, work side by side by the world, live in the world, and yet have no desire for what it offers because there's something much better. There's something much higher. A lot of us grew up and didn't know anything about this. We just thought the world was just go out there and do the best you can and just randomly pick someone or date around and date and date and date until you just find someone you think you really need and just hope for the best. But there's more. It's better that it can be easier and better than that. And this is just a blessing that And I see it as fruit of real life, putting into practice what God had intended and what God planned for man and woman. Like I said, some of us didn't know those things or don't understand. And you know, whenever you start talking about the way that God would have us do things, it scares people to death sometimes, and they run away from it. It scares them. But whenever we will look past that fear and see the fruit of what is being produced, that's what's real. You know, here in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 22, it says, "Wives, be subject to your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church, he himself being the Savior of the body. But as the church is subject to Christ, so also the wives ought to be to their husbands in everything." You know, whenever you read that, that kind of upsets people sometimes in the world that we live in, that wives should be subject to their own husbands. Well, you think, well, that's just all but a racist statement. A feminist, I mean, you can just hear it. That there's places that if you said something like that, it'd be on the news, and you might even be in big trouble for saying something like that. But yet, this is God giving instructions to us, showing us a way that will work if we will follow it. When we think of this, wives, be subject to your husbands, well, that just scares people sometimes. We have the thought of some big, brute of a man just being a dominating husband and beating his wife and just telling her to be in submission. But that's not at all what this is about. That's a bully. That's a ugly situation, but that's what people think of whenever they hear that. Wives, submit to your husbands. It goes on here and says that, "But as the church is subject to Christ, so also wives ought to be their own husbands." And there's the church again. You know, Jesus set us free, and he taught us his ways. And he's looking for people who will hear those ways and follow him. Jesus is not a tyrant. He's a loving, good God. Jesus gave himself. He left heaven and came down into this world, took on the flesh of a man, and lived out the kingdom of God. And men didn't understand it. It went against what they thought, and they crucified him. He overcame Satan by that death and resurrection. It wasn't because he was a bully. Jesus never commanded anybody that they had to do anything. He said, "This is the way, follow me." Said before, Jesus was a shepherd. And that's the picture of a husband, the shepherd. Jesus was a shepherd, not a sheepdog. You know, a lot of places, that bully we're talking about, you think of a sheepdog running around, and instead of just guiding and leading the sheep, he's running around biting at them and trying to force them into the direction that he wants them to go. And if they get out of line, he's right there to snap their head off or to bite them to make sure they go the right place. But Jesus was a shepherd. See, we've got this whole idea. God is tainted. The idea of God is tainted in this world. Because there's a devil that wants us to think that way. He'll let us believe in a God just so we keep him as a tyrant and a bully and people scared to death to obey him. But he's a good God. And he came to show us the way. That's why he came in the flesh. He was a shepherd. Wives, be subject to your own husbands. Whenever there's several pictures of this in the Bible where Jesus calls us to follow him. And whenever there's somebody worth following, we choose to follow the Lord from our own free will. No one's forced us to. If we're forced to, there's something wrong. He wants people to surrender their will to follow him. And when we do that, it's not a hard thing to follow him. I've talked about the cross of Christ before, and I've asked people about it, and there's people tell me, well, it's the teachings of Jesus that's the cross. It's the teachings of the church that's a hard cross to bear. That's not what the cross is at all. Because it's a pleasure to serve someone you love. You choose to serve someone you love. That's where the wife, in a proper situation, chooses. She's chosen. Heidi, you've chosen to love Hans. Submit yourself to him. When you agree with him or when you don't, it's your choice. Choose to because you love him. And it's not an emotion. It's not just something that sometimes you might not feel all that emotion, but you can choose to love him. And you can, that'll stay solid because your commitment to him. Just like whenever we've chosen to follow Jesus. We don't understand everything all around us, but we've chosen to walk this path. And not every bad thing that happens to us is because God's given it to us. It's the world that puts the cross on us. It's the world that crucified Jesus, that put Jesus on the cross. That's choosing to follow the Lord and obeying and submitting and giving ourselves to him is our choice and our will and our love. And sometimes there's consequences that the world puts on us for that. And it makes it a little harder. But instead of separating us from the one we love, it should drive us closer to it. Like I said, this is something that scares people. Well, I'm not going to submit to him. That would be awful. Just like Brother Jason said, when God made man in the Garden of Eden, he took a rib from man and he created the woman for the man. She's his helper. She's his helper. Today's world, the man is usually the one tagging along, helping the wife, trying to support the wife. But that's not the way it's supposed to be. And it might look like it works for a little while, but it's out of order. And I think one of the big things today that has got the world so confused is because the role of the man and the woman has become muddled. And when a man isn't a man and a woman isn't a woman, how in the world would a child know any difference? They would be confused, and that's the evidence is all around us. One of the things that convinces me most of Jesus is that there's as much evil in the world, but there's good in it too. There's a good and an evil. That shows me that there's a God, because there's evil in the world. Some people say, well, I can't believe God because there's evil in the world. Well, that just convinces me that there is. And just as evil as the world can be, there can be good on the other end of it. I try to tell the young people, be grateful of the blessings that you've had. Because most of the world knows nothing of it, having to try to figure it all out themselves without any guidance. Wind up with broken homes, broken families. You've got a blessing that's just been handed to you. Your families have worked hard to provide this for you. The church, the brethren, have worked hard to give you this opportunity and this blessing. And don't take it for granted. Be so thankful and grateful. And the best steward passes on what he's given and improved on it. I mean, the young people here should far surpass anything that I've ever been able to do. They started on a much more solid ground than I did, and then a lot of our parents, some of them come from, as far as the godliness and the foundation. Wives, be subject to your own husbands. You know, I've said it a bunch, but you know, whenever we read this, most of the time, I've seen it happen, where when you read this passage where it says, wives, submit to your husband, the wife or the husband reaches over and nudges his wife and say, listen, this is for you. And then when the next few verses it says that the husband should love his wife as Christ loved the church, the wife's nudging him and saying, hey, listen, that's for you. And we both heard it, you know, we all heard it, but it was for him and it was for her. So we didn't hear it. When we hear something like this, wives, husbands, you need to think about your job. And wives, you need to think about your job. It's not a competition here. And we should do our part, whether the other person does theirs or not. That's the whole thing about love. When we are committed to do what we're supposed to do, no matter what the other person does. You know, we live in a world that everybody else is to blame. So I blame my behavior because you didn't do what you were supposed to do. And so I'll just blame you for how I acted. There again, just passing it off on someone else. But if everyone in a church, in a family, in a home will do what they're supposed to do, you know, we look at a factory or something, and if everybody just does their job, at the end result, whatever they're trying to build or put together is there, and it works. And it's neat. And if we will put that same principle together in a family where everybody does what they're supposed to do, you know, there's people that are in charge, and there's people sweeping the floor. But if everybody does what they're supposed to, it'll just work together and be beautiful. And that's part of what the fruit's all about. It's just each person doing what God wants them to do. We'll read on a little bit. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her, so that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, that he might present to himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she would be holy and blameless. So husbands ought also to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his own wife loves himself. I'll stop there. Husbands. Fawns. A husband. The husband is the one that holds it all together. This is his family. He's starting a family, starting a home. He happens to be the one with the responsibility for how it all works, how it all runs. And just like the church, Jesus is the head of the church. Jesus is the one that if we do what he asks, it'll work. And the church chooses to submit to. You know, in a home, the husband may have the authority, but it's the woman who has the power. The husband has the authority, but it's the woman who has the power in the home. Because if she doesn't give her power to her husband, then they're fighting against each other. Maybe not even verbally, but there's always that little power struggle. See, our will is what we always struggle with God. It's the little power struggle that we have of whether Jesus is the Lord of our life or not. And as we submit our wills to his, we give the power to the one with the authority. And that's what the church is about. That's what that unwrinkled, unspotted bride is about. The husband has the authority. He's responsible to take care of her, to love her, to protect her, to provide for her. He's responsible to make the home a proper place with its guidance. It's like he's the shepherd of the home, the leader of the home. And you have to be a leader. You have to make the decisions. You have to make the decision, the hard decision sometimes, to how things are going to be, how things you want them, how you want to guide them. But she's the weaker vessel. You can't just go in like a bulldozer. It just takes time and patience sometimes to show her the right direction. But be someone worth her putting her trust in. Someone to follow. Just be that person to be followed. The wife, there's a term, you don't hardly hear it anymore, but I like it. A homemaker. You know, that's one of those comments that if you mention that about a woman, there would be a lot of people that would be all upset and offended. But it's such a beautiful thing. The homemaker. You're the one making the home. I mean, your husband's out working all day, and there's nothing more beautiful than for you to be taking care of the home, providing everything he needs to support him in what he's doing. The homemaker. So when he comes home to a clean house. When he comes home to a peaceful house. You know, the bars are filled today with people who find the bar room a lot more peaceful than it is at home. And that's sad. You see, whenever we do things God's way, we can have peace and joy. You know, we think it's oppressive. The world thinks it's oppressive, but it's a peaceful thing. It's a happy thing. It might not have all the glitter and the shine that the world offers, but it's a beautiful thing. To come home to a happy home. That sounds simple, but when life gets in the way sometimes. But the only thing that we really have any control over is our attitude. And it doesn't matter what situation comes upon us, we can still have the right attitude about it. You know, I'm as bad as anybody whenever something first happens to get the wind knocked out of my sail. Or just get upset or something. It's just easy to do right away. But then I have a choice. Am I going to let this control me? Am I going to dwell on this and just chew on this bad thing that's on the horizon and let it upset me and worry me? Or am I just going to be happy no matter what comes? Knowing that there's someone else in charge. And that's the thing about being a wife, being submissive. As long as he's in charge, you just be happy with whatever it is. You don't have to fix everything. You just trust him. And that's that rest and that trust. Goes right on down to the children. You can pass it on. That's being a homemaker. Being a homemaker. That's your job. And that home, like I said, it's his responsibility, but you have the power to how your home's going to be. Talk to each other. Don't just talk at each other. You know, whenever we talk to people, most of the time we're trying to tell everybody else what we've been doing. One of the most important things that you'll learn in life is that to be a good conversationalist is to be a listener. To be a listener. You know, whenever we're talking to each other, we're all trying to tell everybody about us, about what I've been doing, about what I'm going to do. I'm doing this and I'm doing that. And you know what the other person is doing? They're saying, trying to tell you what I'm doing and what I'm going to do. And I'm doing this and I'm doing that. And so you get two people trying to tell each other what each one's plan's going to be. You don't really get anywhere. But if you'll take the time to listen and hear the other person. I mean, you know, the man sometimes think the wife, all she has to do is just keep the house in order and have dinner ready. And what does she have to complain about? Take the time just to listen to her. Let her kind of air her problems. We all need a vent. We all need to take the time to do that. But wife, don't make it the theme of every evening to come home. And I mean, he's been working, and the last thing he wants to do is to hear an earful of belly aching about how bad your day went. Consider each other that way. There's times you need to tell him, but for the most part, don't make it every day. Make it a peaceful thing to come home to, a pleasant place to come home to. Husbands, Sometimes you have bad days. Don't come home and just take it out on her. Make her look forward to you coming home. Take time to hear each other. Like I said, when people first hear some of these principles and things, they get scared. But it's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. To raise our children, to be able to raise our children in a world that's just gone completely crazy. And to be able to raise good children, godly children. Children that you don't have to worry about where they're at night. The church has a lot to offer the world, but they very rarely see it. They get stopped at two or three things that, and they never get past to see the fruit. Jesus said that we are the light of the world, the salt of the earth. If we just stay hidden away, the world will never see that light. Sometimes we just got to go out in the middle of it. And whenever they begin to see the fruit, it is appealing to them. It's attractive. And it puts meaning behind the words that Jesus spoke, that Jesus taught. Blessings.